So we're going to sing Hosanna, and we're going to sing it loud, and we're going to sing it to God, and I want to hear you guys singing it as well as doing the actions. Everybody up on their feet.
You are with me.
give a hand clap to God. You know, we thank Him for being here, but I still see some people sitting down. Coaches, I want you to look out. If you see someone that is sitting down, then they're not giving their all. So our coaches are going to be watching for every single person that's sitting down because we need to give Him our all.
All right, guys, let's continue to worship. So let's not sit down. We're going to focus on God right now. We're going to sing to Him. We're going to sing Christ is Enough, okay? Here we go.
He won't give us. So we're going to sing that again, and I want you guys to sing it to God like you mean it, because He's everything you need. That means you don't need your friends. You don't necessarily need your chair. You might not need to wear shoes, but God gives us those things because we worship Him and because we love Him. He loves us that much. So boys, I want you all to stand up. No one kneeling down. No one talking to a friend. Everyone standing up. And we're going to sing it again. Sing it with us.
In Christ is enough for me. In Christ.
Come on, boys. Sing it to God. Sing it to Him because He's everything you need.
And everything I need.
Conscious, he can't talk, and his body was shaking, and they picked him up and they put him in the car and they rushed him to the hospital because my brother was there. And on the way he called me and he said, "You need to start praying. Noah is unconscious and he's having a seizure and we're on the way to the emergency room." Hung up. So I start praying, called my mom, we start praying on the phone, text Pastor Chris, Pastor Walt, and everybody started praying. And when they got to the emergency room, he was conscious. And they started running tests, and we just prayed because a seizure is very serious, and you can lose a lot of brain function. You can like not think very well, and you can even lose function of some limbs and stuff depending on how serious the seizure is. And after he was at the emergency room for not very long, they couldn't figure out why he had the seizure. All of the symptoms had stopped. Everything was normal. There was no leftover anything from having the seizure, and God healed him completely. And they sent him home and they said, "Nothing's wrong. He's totally fine. He was born with a condition that has the possibility of having seizures, and so they know that it's probably something with that, but he has no side effects, and he's totally fine. And he called me up, and they said we can start praising God because God healed him and kept him from getting hurt. And God knows and watches all of us. And today we're even going to talk about that, because Christ is enough no matter what situation we have, and he takes care of all of our needs. Amen? Are you guys awake? Amen? Because God is good. The front row on the boys' side is awake. The rest of you, God is good. There we go. And all the time, God is good all the time. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret, because God takes care of everything. He is in control. Amen. We're going to talk about that this morning. And thank you very much, Skylar. I had something up here. I don't know where I put it. I had a set of keys. I want to show you guys something this morning. I don't know where they got
keys.
Yeah,
I hear you were looking for keys.
Hey, yeah, Gilbert, I had a set of keys. Did you happen to see, did I leave them downstairs on the counter or anything? It was a set of keys.
What did they look like?
There was one that is the front door key to the house.
Oh, like this one?
No, that does look like a front door key to the house. No, it wasn't that one. Not that one. It also had the key that unlocks the back fence. One of the keys on it unlocks the back fence in the backyard. Did you see them?
Well, how about these?
Well, no, that's a nice little set of keys there, but no. No, it isn't this set either. You know what? This is a lot of keys. You know what? It also had a key on it that was like a little silver key. I'm trying to remember what it looks like. It was like a little silver key, and it had like a black thing on it, something.
Oh, here's something with black.
Thank you, Gilbert. No, this isn't it either. Where are you getting all these keys?
Well, I find them here and there and stuff them in my pocket.
Okay.
What?
No, these aren't my keys. He's not taking apart my keys. That's really weird. Well, I hope that nobody needs any of those keys, Gilbert, because I'm looking at them here and those look like they might be important keys. Do they own something? They open something that you own?
Well, I tried them on the back door once and the shed lock, but none of them ever work.
Really? Well, I hope nobody's looking for them, because if they do, they might get really upset because they lost their keys and they didn't find them, obviously.
Oh, like you?
Well, yeah, a little bit like me. Yeah, where are my keys? I do need my keys. You know what? I have to find my keys, Gilbert, because it's got the key to my office, and afterwards I need to go upstairs and put my stuff away. I have to be able to have my key to get to my desk.
I found these by the sink.
Gilbert?
What?
These are my keys.
What?
Yeah, thank you very much. That's amazing. Where are you finding all these keys?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Well, I find some in the trash, and I find some on the playground. And those I found on the kitchen sink.
Really?
Yes.
Well, thank you, but, you don't need to be having everybody's keys here. What happens if somebody needs to get into something? They, good grief, what if people are looking for the keys and you have them?
Well, I don't know.
Well,
I figure if I ever need to get in anything, I probably have a key. Plus, the more keys you have, the more important you are.
No, Gilbert. No, the more keys you have, not the more important they are. That's silly. You need to get rid of all those keys. You know what? That's silly to be having all these keys in your pocket. But there is one key that you do need to have. It's a really important key.
Oh, which one?
Well, it's not any of the keys that you handed me here. I'm talking about a different kind of a key. It's a key that we're actually going to be talking about this morning. It's the most important key that anybody could ever have.
Is it this one?
No, it's not that one either. That is a really cool, important key. It looks like it might open my piano, come to think of it. No, it's not this key. This key is the key that unlocks the power of God is the one I'm talking about. And it isn't a metal key or something like this that you have. And good grief, Gilbert, you had all of these in your pocket?
Yeah.
How in the world did you walk around with this many keys in your pocket?
I had to wear two belts to keep my pants up.
Oh, brother. Gilbert, I'm going to have to send the maintenance men to you next time somebody loses their key, because clearly you're keeping them all. You know what? Today we're not talking about these kind of keys. We're talking about the key that unlocks the power of God. It's called the key of faith.
Yeah, I don't think I have that one.
Well, actually, that's what we're going to be talking about today, because it is a key that you can have. It is a key that all of us can have because we're children of God, all right? We are the children of God, and we can have this key. So today we're going to talk about it, and we'll learn about it if you want to listen with us with the kids, all right?
Great.
And it's going to be much better than carrying all of those in your pocket. This morning, we are talking about faith, the key to the most important thing. It's faith. Now listen, I have a question for you all, and my question is, who's in charge?
Daddy!
Who's in charge this morning? Who is in charge? God is in charge. All right. Well, this morning in our story, the man in the story has learned this lesson of who's in charge very well. And he has a great example for us of what we do when we have a need, all right? And I want to read it with you. So if you have your Bible, open it up to the book of Luke, all right? And listen, it's the New Testament. The first book is Matthew, Mark, Luke, all right? So the third book in the New Testament, open it up. It should be in the middle of your Bible. Luke, this says, we're switching here. This says 2, but it's actually Luke chapter 7. Verse 2. Oh, they fixed it for me. Luke 7, 2. Thank you. All right. Are you ready? We're just going to read the first two verses, and it's going to set up our story this morning of what's going on. All right? And it says, you can follow along. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master highly valued, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard about Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and to heal his servant. All right? What is a centurion? What is a centurion? Our pun. This man knows exactly what he's talking about. He's a Roman soldier, and he's in charge of how many people? 100 people he is in charge of. All right? Does anybody remember who was in charge in Israel during Jesus' time? Who was the government? Who were the rulers? Miss Mary. Well, we just said who, Ledame, do you remember? Nope, they weren't in charge. I just said it. The centurion is one of them. Who was in charge, Benjamin? The Romans, all right? The Romans are in charge. They are the governing party over Israel when Jesus was there, all right? So we've got the Romans, okay? And they are called Gentiles a lot of times, which means they are not Jews. The Romans did not worship God. The Jews worshiped God the Father, all right? Now, Jesus, he's alive and he's an adult, but he hadn't been fully understood who he was yet, all right? So we have the Romans and the Jews. Can you say that with me? The Romans and the who? That's right, the Romans and the Jews. So this centurion understood something very important. And first service, we had to talk about this a lot because they were not understanding who's in charge here. This centurion is in charge of 100 people, and he knows that if he says, Philip, jump, what would you do? Jump, all right? This Roman centurion had 100 people that knew that they needed to do exactly what he said immediately, because if they didn't, Rome would send a whole bunch of people to make you obey, all right? He was in charge. Well, in our story, the centurion understood that about the Roman government, but he understood something even more important about who's in charge of life. And it was actually very shocking because, see, the Romans didn't believe in God. But this centurion, the Bible says, had actually spent his own money to help build the church or the synagogue for the Jews in his town, all right? He understood who's in charge, and he understood it very well. And it kind of reminded me of a game that I think a lot of you might play. Have you ever played this game before? Monopoly, all right? How many of you have played Monopoly before? All right. How many of you like to draw the card? That one. You like to draw the card? I need somebody to come up here and draw a chance card for me. Shelby, come up here. I want you to draw a card. It is the card that nobody wants to get. Draw this one right here just for me and tell me, what does it say?
Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass. Go. Do not collect
$200. Would you like to get this card if you were playing the chance, playing this game? No? Some of you are silly. If you get this card, what happens?
You can't get any money.
You can't get any money. You are exactly right. Shelby, grab something off our grill back here. Thank you so much. It's the go to jail card. I hate this card because then you are stuck in jail till you roll a double with your dice. Or lose a turn and then everybody gets ahead of you. It is not the card that you want to get. And you know why the story reminded me of Monopoly? Because this Roman soldier, he had never played Monopoly before, but he had a card that he played during this situation in his life that was not like a card that's actually on Monopoly, but our Monopoly game has a card this morning that I want somebody to draw because it's like this Roman soldier drew this card. I'm going to get the young man in the red sweatshirt. Come up here for me real quick. I have a card that I would like you to draw that if I were playing Monopoly, this would be the winning card ever. Would you draw the next chance card for me real quick? It's this one right here. I want you to draw this card. This is the card that you would play if you were in, let's show all the kids, an emergency. Do you see this big word right here? It says emergency. Whose picture is on our card? Who does that maybe look like?
Jesus.
It's exactly right. He said it looks like Jesus. Can I read this card to you? It says, if you are in emergency, do not finish your video game. Do not finish your soda. Do not call a friend. Go directly to Jesus. Is that a good card? This would be the best card ever in an emergency. Do you want to grab something off our grill, Andrew? Thank you so much. Let me tell you about this Roman centurion. His people did not believe in God. They did not worship God like the Jews. But it was like he was holding this chance card because the Bible says that when his servant got sick, the first thing he did was send somebody to go get Jesus. It's like he said, you know what? I probably was not playing video games, but he said, I don't have time to do anything else. I have to go directly to Jesus. And he played this card, and it shocked a ton of people because they knew that he was a Roman soldier, and they knew that he and his people did not believe in God. And it kind of surprised them, and he went directly to Jesus when he had an emergency. All right? Today, when we say who's in charge, we need to think in our mind, Jesus. Remember, what is the key to everything that we need? Our what? Faith in God. We're talking about that today. And in an emergency, we all are holding that key. And we're going to talk about that this morning because this centurion servant was very sick and he knew that he did not want to take a detour. Does anybody know what a detour is? What's a detour? It's a long way to get where you're going out of the way. If you're going on a straight line, a detour takes you like this to get to the same place. The Roman soldier, the centurion, said, I'm not taking a detour. I'm going directly to Jesus because I know that he holds the key and the authority to my problem and will take care of it. And I have a Zion 7 report right here that we're going to watch that talks about what happened when he went to Jesus. All right?
This servant of a wealthy Roman centurion was near death as the sun rose this morning in the small Jewish town of Capernaum.
Suffering from severe pain and paralysis, the servant and his master had all but given up hope on the servant's ability to recover.
Fortunately, the centurion's Jewish friends told him about a man in Israel who is known for healing all kinds of sickness and disease. His name is Jesus of Nazareth.
We'll take you step by step through the centurion's day today and show you exactly what happened as he approached Jesus of Nazareth asking for his servant's healing.
Placido the seer will talk with the centurion about how he became so confident in Jesus' ability to heal, and today's the way I see it.
That's all coming up on the Zion 7 Report.
You're watching the Zion 7 Report, a comprehensive news magazine reporting today's news as it happens. With anchors Adam Ziklag and Eve Havila. Plus, news commentary with Ido the Seer. The Zion 7 Report.
A Roman centurion named Artemas came very close to losing his servant today to a painfully crippling paralysis that had grown progressively worse over the past 2 weeks.
Artemas had done all he could to bring comfort to his ailing servant, but no serum, poultice, or even incantation seemed to have any effect on the young man's condition.
It wasn't until the centurion heard about a man named Jesus, who reportedly could heal any sickness or disease, that his despair turned into hope.
Zion 7 correspondent Eunice of Lystra followed the centurion as he set out to find Jesus today. She says even Jesus marveled at the centurion's newfound faith.
The centurion starts his day by stopping at the home of a prominent Jewish elder. Artemas built these Jews a synagogue out of his own money, and he now hopes that his relationship with them will gain him an audience with the famous Jewish teacher and healer, Jesus of Nazareth. As they began their search for Jesus, the two men encountered another Jewish elder who agreed to join them in their quest. It didn't take the men long to find the healer, who had reportedly just arrived in Capernaum after instantly healing a man with leprosy. The elders told Jesus of the centurion's love for the Jewish people and of his servant's dire need for healing. Jesus was quick to respond.
I will come and heal him.
Good. He will come with us.
Your master, please, I beg you. I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. You see, I too am a man under authority. And when I say to one of my soldiers, go, he goes, and to another, come, he comes.
I will tell you the truth. I have not found so much faith with anyone, even in the house of Israel. Go. It shall be done for you as you have believed it.
The centurion took Jesus at his word and returned home with no physical proof that his servant was healed. Upon reaching his house, however, Artemas was greeted with the joyful report that his servant was indeed healed of all pains and paralysis. For the Zion 7 Report, I'm Eunice of Lystra.
The centurion was obviously overjoyed to find that his faithful servant was sitting up in bed and free from all pain when he returned from his meeting with Jesus.
These two friends of the centurion who had been ministering to the servant's needs said they were surprised to see how quickly the servant recovered.
Well, Sadim had been paralyzed from the waist down for quite some time.
That was bad enough, but he was also having severe neck and back pains. We didn't know how much longer he could take
it. Oh, I didn't know how much longer I could take it. It broke my heart to see Sadim in that much pain. But, you know, when he started to recover, it all happened so quick, it took me by surprise.
Right. He went from groaning and moaning and shaking to talking sensibly and moving his legs around on the bed. It was incredible.
And when Artemas got home, we discovered that this had all begun to happen when Jesus spoke the word.
Well, apparently the centurion's trust in Jesus' word opened up the door for his servant to receive a miracle from God.
We're going to take you now live to the centurion's home, where his servant is sitting up in bed enjoying his first meal since his recovery. Sadim, I've got to tell you, you look a whole lot better than you did the last time we saw you.
I feel a whole lot better, thanks to Jesus.
Did you really expect your master to find anything that would help you when he left today?
I was hopeful. I had heard about Jesus' ability to heal, but I wasn't sure if my master could find him today or not.
Well, were you surprised when you started feeling better before Artemis got back?
Well, I guess I kind of expected Jesus to come and lay hands on me in order for me to be healed. But when I started getting feeling back in my legs, at first, yeah, I was surprised. I thought, hey, I'm getting healed, and Jesus isn't even here. I didn't even think about him not having to physically be here to use his authority over the disease.
Well, we rejoice with you that you're healed and able to be up and eating after looking so sick earlier today.
Thank you. I rejoice too. And I'm so grateful to Jesus and to my master for trusting his word.
Thank you, Sadim, for taking the time to talk with us.
You're welcome.
You know, the seer will talk with Sadim's master about what gave him such strong confidence in Jesus' word. And today's the way I see it.
That's all coming up right after this.
Coming this fall on KODM. It's the real-life stories of people in trouble, desperate and afraid, and the common, ordinary men who are sent to help. You got problems, they've got answers. They're the Acts 911 team. Working together with the Spirit of God, they can be found where people are suffering and in need. Anytime, day or night. They're caring, they're compassionate, and they're not afraid to confront the forces of darkness. It's real life problems with real life answers. Acts 911, starting this September on KOTM.
It's time for The Way I See It with Ido the Seer.
Hello and welcome to The Way I See It. I'm your host, Ido the Seer. Now, The Way I See It, today's guest has to have some very strong faith for Jesus to say what he said to him today. Artemis, Jesus said he had not seen faith any greater than yours. Did that surprise you?
In a way, it did. I mean, I'd been hearing about the great miracles that he'd been doing, and I knew he needed one, but I didn't expect to hear that.
Now, why did you refuse to have Jesus come to your house and lay hands on your servant? I think that surprised a lot of people when you did that.
Well, I wasn't trying to be difficult. It's just that I know the Jewish custom about not entering the homes of Gentiles, and I respect that. But more importantly, if the man's who he says he is, then he doesn't have to come to my house.
What do you mean, if the man's who he says he is?
Well, Jesus says he's the Son of God, right?
Right.
If he's the Son of God, then he has the authority to stop the works of evil. Come on, let me show you what I mean. Now, I understand authority because I have a certain amount of authority myself. Now, I am under Rome's rule, but I also have men under me. If the leadership in Rome determines that they want to do something in all their provinces, I have the right or the authority to tell my men what Rome says we are to do. If they rebel against my word and don't do as they're told, then all of Rome backs me up and they'll send help to make sure that my men follow through with their orders. Now, it's the same in the kingdom of God. If Almighty God determines that a healing belongs to his people, then his son has the right or the authority to tell the forces of evil to stop their assault against his people. If they rebel against his word, then they would face the power of all heaven to make sure that God's word is carried out.
So really, Jesus is just following the plan given to him from above.
That's right. And the real power of the plan is in Jesus' word. Now, he may physically touch someone, but I've noticed he always says something too. And that's where the power is released. Now, if I tell my men to go and do something, they go. Not because I've touched them, but because I told them.
And sickness has to go too because Jesus said so.
That's it.
I Thank you for your time, Artemis. You've helped to see some important truth. Kiddos, we've learned a valuable lesson about authority today. Jesus said this man understood faith because he understood authority. To have great faith, you must understand what belongs to you and be willing to take Jesus at his word. Jesus has the power to back up his word when we put our trust in him. I'm Edo the Seer, and that's the way I see it.
Thanks, Edo.
Well, that's our program for today.
Tune in next week for more late-breaking news
on the Zion 7 Report.
Shalom.
All right, so Edo was talking to Artemis, or the centurion, all right? And he said that Jesus was following God's plan. Who's in charge? God. And he has a plan for all of us, all right? Now, he said God gives the authority to Jesus, and Jesus just does what? Does he do something? What does he do that releases the authority? He speaks, or he said his word. We are all holding a book, or a lot of us are holding a book today that is filled with the words that Jesus spoke. All right? And one of those applies to our situation today, even. It says, by his stripes we are healed. Healed, all right? That is the spoken word. And when we are praying for something, we can speak God's word and it holds the authority. It's the key, God's power, when we believe in it, to be able to release God to do what we need. Now, the difference with this centurion is a huge thing that we can see. And this story, I think, just explains it very well for us, because the centurion understood something or had faith much like we have to have, okay? Because his faith was big enough. Jesus said it was bigger than any faith that he had seen of anybody who was even a Jew. That probably shocked the disciples, because they were Jews, all right? And Jesus was saying that this centurion or this Roman had more faith than them. And the reason that that's a big deal to us is he believed, he had faith in something that all of us have to. See, because he said that Jesus didn't have to actually come and touch the servant. Remember that? He just had to speak and the servant would be healed. Now, is Jesus physically still here on earth in his physical body? Is he still in a human body here with us? No, he's spiritually here with us. He's a supernatural body, but he's not a physical human anymore. And we have to have faith like that centurion, because when we speak God's word, our faith is that we know it will happen. That centurion believed it that way back in Jesus' days, before Jesus was even gone. I'm going to finish reading some of this with you, all right? May open back your Bibles up to Luke 7, and let's finish reading what the story says. All right? When they came to Jesus, we're in verse 4 now. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and he's built our synagogue. What does pleaded mean? What does pleaded mean? Let me find somebody I haven't called on. Sana, what does pleaded mean? To beg. How many of you have ever begged for something before? You've begged for something? Do you get what you want when you beg for it? It's 50-50 probably, right? 50-50. Sometimes, well, there is somebody at my house and Kirsten's house that has mastered begging, all right? And I have a short video here to see who this person or this someone is. Watch this. I'm holding a treat. There's Coco.
Butter. Do you want this treat? Do you want a treat?
Butter.
You want the toy?
This is Kirsten's dog, Lily.
You want the toy? Bag. Bag. Come here. Come here. Bag.
These dogs know how to beg or to plead. And you know what? Almost all of the time, they get what they want. They knew I had a treat. But you know what? This is a different kind of begging, because I think when we think begging, we think of somebody holding a treat and telling us to keep asking. I've got the treat here. Beg, beg, beg. You know what? This pleading that these people did, they were actually the priests, or they were some important people from the synagogue that the centurion had sent to Jesus, that were pleading with Jesus to come. We get this thought in our mind sometimes that when we're asking Jesus for something, it's like he's holding the truth above us and we have to beg for it. Is that what Jesus is doing?
No.
It's a different kind of pleading. Actually, Jesus told the disciples in Luke 18:1, this is what Jesus was talking about, or this is the kind of pleading that he's saying. Jesus actually told his disciples that they needed to pray and to never give up, never cease. That means that God wants us to ask him, and you know what? Sometimes he needs us to wait, because he knows that if he answered right away, it might not be exactly the best for us. And he says, I need you to wait. But when you wait, this is the kind of pleading we're talking about. You don't stop asking, you keep praying, all right? Because God's going to answer, and sometimes he's wanting us to just spend more time with him. Shh, who's talking? He's wanting us to spend time with him and to continue to pray. He asked the disciples to never cease, to not stop, to keep praying, all right? These men pleaded with Jesus, and they weren't begging him, but they were asking him continually because they knew that they needed him and they weren't going to give up until they had an answer, all right? And this is what happened in verse 6. So Jesus went with them, all right? He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends. One of the scriptures says he sent friends, and the other one talks about the centurion talking to Jesus. And it says, Lord, he's talking to Jesus, don't trouble yourself. I don't even deserve for you to come under my roof. I don't even want you to come to my house because I don't even deserve for you to be in my house. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And you know what? This is when Jesus said to the disciples, I haven't seen such great faith as this Roman, even with all of you who grew up learning about God. It was a big deal because, see, this centurion had a key way cooler than this one. He had the key of faith. He went directly to Jesus. He had the key of faith, and that key unlocks God's power to do what he needs to do in our situation. In that emergency, that centurion understood that completely. All right? This is one of the only times in the Bible where Jesus is actually amazed, and it was because of how much faith this centurion had. All right? Iddo said something very important, and the centurion did also. That faith unlocked the power of God's word. All right? His actual spoken word. Matthew has that same story, and it ended in a different verse. It said that Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believe it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. The minute Jesus said, go, it will be done, the servant was healed right there. And Jesus wasn't even at the house. The centurion hadn't even got home yet. That faith unlocked the power of God. And that's what I want to talk about with us. Because you know what? Every single one of us in this room can have that same key in your life. We hold that key. We have God's word in front of us. And when we believe, just like that centurion, God is able to immediately take care of whatever emergency or whatever need we have. All right? We can take Jesus at his word, because if he said it, it is true. All right? When the Bible tells us that God is always with us, That means that God is always with us. The Bible tells us that we are wonderfully made. You know what? It doesn't matter what anybody else tells to you. God's word says that you are wonderfully made. He made you exactly the way he wanted to. When somebody tells you that you are not pretty, you know what? You know that God's word says differently. You are exactly the way that God designed you, and you are perfect in his eyes. All right? When the Bible tells you that whoever believes in Jesus will have everlasting life, when they ask for him to forgive their sins, that is truth. God's word is always true. All right. When he does what he said he's going to do, and we can have faith in Jesus. But you know what? There's something else that this lesson is really important that it teaches us. Jesus is not limited by distance. See, that centurion know that even though Jesus was not at his house, he is not limited by distance. And he does things exactly the way that he wants to. It's faith. And it's the key that we hold that heals all of our diseases. All right? Are you all still with me? All right. The key that we hold that holds all of us. It's faith in Jesus. Now, I don't know how many of you, all right, I don't know how many, I don't know if Gilbert or Freddie or anybody's downstairs, but I was.
You rang?
I did. There you are. I was telling the kids that I was making something in the kitchen earlier.
Oh, yes, I found it already.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
You did you? I was making something that I was going to make for a little later this afternoon. Oh, thank you very much.
Yes, it looks a little crunchy.
Oh, this one does. I was making some brownies earlier. Let me check the... Would you like one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get one of them for you here. Oh, my goodness. What
Maybe
happened
not.
To these brownies? Oh, it's... It's like a rock.
I think maybe you overcooked it.
You know what? I think I might have overcooked it just a little bit. But good news!
How about this one?
I was going to say, I made more than one. Thank you very much. Okay, we'll try this again. I made more than one. Whew! Because that one, this one is like a solid rock. Okay. All right. Anyway, I was saying that I made some brownies for a little earlier, for later. These brownies seem to have
maybe that's the milkshake version
too. These brownies are a wee bit undercooked. It's like brownie soup. I can't give you a bite of these brownies either, Freddie. I'm so sorry. Thank you. All right.
What about this last one?
I thought I was going to have three things. I did make several brownies. Let me check here. This one. Well, this one smells good. It looks much better than that one. Let me try it again. Oh, look at that. I can cut right through it. Okay. Freddie, I think we're in luck.
Oh.
Okay, because these brownies look very, very good. Yeah, I thought you... Would you like to taste one of them? Here, would you? Okay, here, have a bite.
Oh, yum, 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 yum.
Okay.
Yum, 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 yum,
these brownies are perfect.
Oh, so good. Oh, very, very good.
They are very good.
They are delicious.
They are delicious. Thank you. Good. At least I got one thing of brownies. You know what? I'm really glad I got one that was at least right. But you know what this reminds me of, Freddie?
Mm-hmm.
When God is fixing our problems,
yes,
he does not mess up like I did.
Oh, no.
No. When we ask God for something, does he ever wait too long and cook it too much and wait too long so that it's ruined and it can't be, we can't have a solution to it? No. See, if God is taking care of something, he never, ever, ever waits too long, no matter what you think. He will never ruin our situation by waiting so long and having rock hard brownies.
Mm-mm.
And you know what? God is never early. He does not forget to take care of our things like I did and forget to cook the brownies. He knows what our situation is, and when we ask, he is ready to answer it, and he does not forget. God handles our situations like these brownies. How many of you like brownies? I thought that was the case. The bad news is I only have one good brownie, and it's not enough for all of us. But you know what? When God is taking care of stuff, His timing is perfect. He never sets a timer and forgets. He never forgets to put it in there.
Well, I always forget with my video games. I set the timer.
You set the timer when you're playing video games?
Yeah, but then I pretend not to hear it go off.
I'm sure you do. That happens at our house, too. But you know what? God never forgets. His timing is always perfect and right on time. Even if we think that He needs to answer quicker, God knows and He takes care of it. All right? God knows and He takes care of it. Thank you so much, Freddie.
Yes.
All right. Now, you know what? God is the one. God is the one that is perfect. All right? And I know that today, when you leave this place, we are going to understand that what is the key to the answer for what we need? Faith. That's right. Faith is the key to what we are needing. And when we have faith, can all of us have that key? Yes. That's right. Every single person in this room can have that key. All right? All right. Thank you. Now, listen.
What? There was one more thing.
What is there one more thing?
Well, I lost the flower.
You lost the flower? You did?
Yes.
Oh, you lost the flower. Well, you know what? You didn't actually lose the flower, Gilbert.
But flower!
No, Gilbert.
Flower!
Gilbert, you... Excuse me, Freddie. You did not lose the flower.
Yes, I did. Flower!
No. You know what? Hey, I got an idea.
What?
Go back and see if you can find it. She might be playing football or something. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you check and see? She might be. I don't know. Earlier, she and Abigail had to run off and do something, and they aren't back quite yet, but... The flower is not lost. Do not worry about it. Blossom is around, okay? Now, what was I saying? Hello? What is this? It is a football.
Football.
Hey. Oh, were you playing football with
me?
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I caught your football here. Hey, Gilbert, catch.
Boom. Oh!
I didn't mean to.
Man down. Man down.
I didn't mean to hit you. I'm sorry.
Somebody go get my mom.
No. You don't need your mom. Gilbert, you don't need your mom. It's okay. It was just a sponge football.
But I know what kind of football it is.
Well, okay.
But it fractured my head.
I did not fracture your head with the football, Gilbert. I'm sorry. I mean, look. I don't see any blood. You look okay.
You need to watch what you're doing. You almost killed me.
I did not almost kill you. It was just a Nerf football, Gilbert. It was a Nerf. Okay, listen. You're okay. Stop shaking. Stop shaking.
Get my mom.
Gilbert,
get my mom.
You don't need your mom, Gilbert. Don't be so silly. You're not a baby. You're all right. You'll be okay. You're not a baby. It's all right. It was
baby.
Well, I'm not calling you a baby. I'm just saying.
I am not a baby.
No,
I'm very, very smart.
Gilbert. Okay, you're killing me here. It was a sponge. It was a sponge. I couldn't possibly hurt you with a sponge football. You don't need your mom. You know what, though? You're kind of reminding me of what we were talking about earlier because this wasn't really an emergency, was it?
No.
No, it wasn't really an emergency. But if it were an emergency...
I'd go straight to my mom because she makes me feel better.
No. Okay, you know what? I bet the kids hopefully have learned this morning. If it's an emergency, who do you go to? You go straight to God or to Jesus, Gilbert, all right?
Before my mom?
You go straight to Jesus, and you can ask your mom to pray with you if it is an emergency. Your mom and your dad will help you, and they understand that Jesus is the one.
Will Jesus get me a cup of hot chocolate with marshmallows when I'm freezing from playing in the snow?
No, not that kind of emergency, Gilbert. That's something your mom can do. Jesus is who we go to when we have an emergency that is bigger than anything that we can take care of. And our moms and our dads can pray with us, and they understand. Gilbert, I got to show you something. I had it here earlier. We had a card here.
Oh, earlier. You guys play Monopoly without me?
Well, we weren't really playing Monopoly, but we pulled a card that says emergency. It says, do not finish your video games. Do not finish your soda. Do not call a friend. Go directly to Jesus. All right? And in an emergency or any time, let me see which team needs to lose a point. Any time that we have any kind of a need, whether it's an emergency or whether it's something that maybe seems small to us, Jesus wants to take care of all our needs. And just like this card says, we go to Him second? First. We go to Jesus first every time, all right?
With one of your crazy throws.
I know. Okay, did Freddie find Blossom?
I'll go look.
All right. I don't know if they found him yet because I don't know about you guys, but I'd kind of like to know.
Hey, Freddie.
What the score
Freddie,
is.
Freddie, where's the flower?
Would you like to know?
I don't know. I keep looking. Flower!
Okay.
Flower!
Freddie.
Well, what?
You know what? How about this?
What?
If you didn't find her, do you know the score?
Oh, let me go check.
Okay. Maybe he can tell us the score.
How many of you think the boys are ahead? We got the three, we got the two, and
how many of you think the boys are ahead?
We
here,
and we carried it a one. And I got it!
You got the score?
I do.
Okay.
Okay.
How many points do the girls have?
The girls have 11.
11.
You know, those are guests that you brought that really carried you.
Yes, those guests really, really
yes,
helped.
Yes, because you know what?
What?
Because the boys, they already had 9.
They had 9?
9.
9 to 11?
9 to 11.
Oh, my goodness. At the beginning of the service, the boys were ahead. Now the girls are ahead. It's hard to tell. You know, thank you very much, Freddie. I'm going to tell them about the end of the media challenge. Shh. Listen up, guys. Shh. We have 3 more weeks left before we end our challenge or our boys versus girls team, all right? And you have lots more chances to win. But I want to tell you, we had a media challenge. I don't know how many of you got to do it with us on our Frog Report last month that we did not get to give the prizes away because we didn't have church last week, all right? So I have a picture here of, sorry, I'm throwing them way off back here, of the prizes. Yes, here we go. And they were all here first service, so we already gave away the prizes. But I want to tell you, these are some of the winners and the runners-up. But our media challenge was something old and something new. Remember, you can use your phone or your tablet or whatever and scan the Frog Report, and it takes you to a page that you can enter in this contest, okay? And it was to have something old into something new. The winners of this, the number one winner was this one up here, this young man, and he was here first service, and he told us before he came to Kids Church, he used to always play video games, and that was the only thing he did. That was the old him. He said the new him is he likes to read his Bible now, all right? So this was our first prize. Our second prize was this one over here, right in the middle. It's a new doll that somebody got for Christmas. And the old one is a doll that she said is over 100 years old that her parents brought back from Africa. And it was new and old. A couple of the other ones that were on here that were really cool, that were runners-up, was we had an old sewing machine, we had a new butter, an old butter, and we had a really old Bible. And the winners, the number one and number two winners, all got a new action Bible, that is cartoon Bible, and an old comic book that was from like 1930s, all right? So they got something old and something new. Now listen, we have a new media challenge this month, okay? Because we weren't here last week, the memory verse that the media challenge was on, you did not get to see. But if you scan the Frog Report today, it will take you to a page that will explain how you can do the new media challenge. And you have to answer some very simple questions that all of you can answer. And then there's one clue in it that has you do something kind of silly, and you have to snap a picture of it and send it back, all right? And when you see it, you will understand. And for every single person that does it, they get to come and they will get something if they finish the media challenge. So everybody will win, all right? But you have to send in your picture and you have to go do what it says on the media challenge, all right? All right, so I will let you guys do that. Now, I want to pray with you guys before we go because we were talking this morning about faith. And I want you guys to think about this because every one of us is going to be in a situation that we need God to take care of. All right? This week, it was my nephew Noah. And when we prayed, God answered and he took care of the need because we believed that his healing was through Jesus Christ. It was faith. But you know what? You're going to have a lot of situations in your life that are exactly the same. And I want to make sure that when we talked about this today, you understand that you have that key also. You simply need to believe what we have talked about, that Jesus has all authority and wants to take care of your need. And when you pray, God answers. All right? Let's pray together that we all would have faith like this centurion. God, I thank you so much that you put this story in the Bible to help us understand that you don't physically have to be standing here, but that the power is in your word, just like that centurion's faith showed us. That he understood that when you spoke, it's done, and that's all that we needed. God, we know that you are the same today as you were back then. And your word is filled with your promises. And we simply need to believe on you and have faith like that centurion, and you can take care of any need that we have. Help us to remember that in an emergency, we go to you first. God, we don't have to go talking to all our friends and explaining things. We need to get on our knees and we need to pray. And we need to ask you to take care of us and then know that you are in charge and you will. God, I thank you for putting examples of things that we can learn in the Bible and helping us get together and talk about what that means and help each one of us to have faith like that centurion. In Jesus' name, amen. Whoa!
James 1:22.